Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
Well, welcome everybody. Glad you were here tonight. Very cool. Hey, before I begin, we had a great day yesterday here. We had 60 guys that gathered together for Men's Day. It was our third annual Men's Day, and we had a blast. We did canoeing, and some of us did the dangerous thing. That was my face yesterday afternoon. That was after getting struck by a paintball. And some of us, took on the riskier stuff. There's something about paintball, though. I didn't know really what the attraction was. I know my wife certainly doesn't understand it. But there's something about fear, the danger of getting hit with something and the accompanying pain. There's something that just gets the adrenaline going. And so that's how it was. The tough thing is it was one of my own that shot me with that. And I heard earlier tonight that Cameron, it was you. Yeah, okay, it was you. All right, well, we need to pray over you. And we had a great fun, just a great, great time. So there was, canoeing, and there was golfing, and it was really amazing. You canoed, Luke. It was good. And you won. That's right. How do you win at canoeing? I don't get that. But because there's two of you in a canoe, I don't know how that works. Actually, maybe you were the first canoe in or something. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's in the front of the canoe. I'm winning. it's good for the ego. It's great. So anyway, Men's Day is good. So if you weren't able to join us for Men's Day this year, maybe plan on it for next year. It's good when guys get together, and there's a thought out there that guys and church don't always mix, but I'll tell you, that's not true. God has got a plan for your life, men, and he's calling you on to things, and so I just want to encourage guys, come connect. It's good stuff. God's hand is on your life. Well, we're moving into our third and final week in our series called Community. And we've been talking about a number of things. In our first week, we talked about our values, the seven core values that we have here at Living Waters. And when we talked about our biblical roots, the fact that the Bible is our foundation here, and that's where we stand. That's where we move and we breathe. We talked about the importance of community within community. Luke taught last week about that, about life groups and why that is so important to us, because we recognize that in this gathering we can gather, and that's a cool thing, and we worship together and we can connect with one another here. But deeper, truer community happens in smaller groups, and so we spent quite a bit of time talking about that, and it was good. So I think it's not only important to understand our values as a community, it is important to understand them, but that's not the only thing, and nor is it just our foundations, our biblical foundations, and about family relationships and all of that. I think it's also important for us to talk about and to discover together our direction. Where is God calling his people? Where is he calling you? How is that going to be looking in terms of this new season that we're in? And so tonight, that's where we're going to end this series on community, is to talk about community direction. I want to begin by using a strong passage in Scripture. And so if you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and you can turn there now. We'll get to the actual passage in just a minute. The passage I'm going to be looking at is in the last chapter of Hebrews, and I think it really does speak well to our community's direction. The letter is addressed to Christian Jews, and the writer is really speaking to an audience that is second-generation Christians, many of them. But they're having some problems. In fact, some of them are very close to losing their faith, and they're contemplating going back to their old roots, to Judaism and the law. They're weakened in their Christian faith because their culture, there's a lot of pushback, and they're feeling the pressure of that pushback on a number of fronts. And so the old ways are beginning to seem attractive to them, even if it means going back to the law, even if it means going back to that place where they could never really quite measure up. So throughout Hebrews, the writer is reminding his hearers and those who are reading that there is no comparison at all when it comes to the old way and the life-giving way of Jesus. There is no comparison at all. So he's saying, keep your eyes open. You're going the right direction when you're following Christ. Let me just go to that passage now. It's Hebrews chapter 13, and it begins at verse 11. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies of the animals were burned outside of the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace that he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come. So again, the writer is saying, stick with it, you guys. Come on. Keep going. There are better things to come. And he's saying that your past practices, like the spilling of blood of sacrificed animals in the most holy place within the camp, really just served a point to the coming of Jesus. Served a point to his coming, to his own sacrifice, and in fact, the spilling of his blood. Blood that was not spilled in the temple with limited results, but outside of the camp before heaven with eternal results. You see, there's a difference. And so the writer is saying your movement forward is about a bigger picture, a new picture, a better picture. And it's outside of the camp where the old is made new. Where the old is made new. So this is a helpful trajectory for us, I think, as we consider our community direction. The writer is called to break free, to really break free from our tendency to move back or hold on to past traditions and comforts. You know, the same old, sometimes that can look back or look good to us. And instead, what he's saying in this passage is, beat a path to Jesus. That's where you need to be. You need to beat that path to Jesus. Verse 13 says, so let us go out to him outside the camp. Outside of the camp. I think that the picture or the notion of camp speaks well in terms of our plotting a community direction. It's true that we are not Jewish Christians here looking to return to old ways, but we are Gentiles who from time to time have formed some allegiance to our own camps. You've got camps, and I've got camps. Camps that would want to hold us in. Camps that would want to call us back. Camps that would like to call us their own. There's camp fear. There is camp me. There is camp comfort. And there is camp busy. There's camp loser, there's camp doubt, there's camp wandering, there's camp religion, there's camp sin, there's camp safe. You see, we all have these camps, don't we? I've got my own camps. And we are being called to break free of those camps into new life. You see, the writer of Hebrews, he's calling his community out of their camp, and he's reminding them that Jesus is not hanging out inside the city, that he is outside of the camp. In fact, he's on the outside waiting for them to make the decision to follow him. See, it was outside of the camp that the early Christians would find their freedom, true freedom. And the same is exactly true for us. We find our freedom, our spiritual mobility outside of our camps, whatever they happen to be. And I think that speaks strongly into our community's direction, is breaking free from those camps that would hold us back. This passage really appeals to me because it speaks very specifically about a direction for each of us. And as I say, I think a direction for our community. And that direction is to fully align ourselves with Jesus. And it's not a new direction. In fact, it's an ancient one. But we, like the Hebrews, must continue to think about and embrace that whole notion that we need to be following Jesus and leaving the old behind. Because he's calling us up and he's calling us out of those old camps. so hard for us sometimes when we go back to those places. And some of them sound and look pretty good to us. And yet Jesus calls us on and out of them and into the new places. I want to take a few minutes and just talk about some of the steps forward for us as a community. And part of that is going to be about breaking out of those camps. And we're going to refer to them as we go along. But let me just pray now that God would help us to identify those camps within our own lives. So, Lord, we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would help us to see things, Lord Jesus. Help us to see the things inside of us that we need to see and to take steps, Lord, toward you. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. As we kind of move forward, I'd like to use, it's going to sound a little hokey, actually, but I'm going to use some alliteration because the older you get, you know, the more you need things to remind you of stuff. So I'm going to give you three L words, and that's sort of how we're going to move tonight. And so they are love, learn, and leap. Okay, love, learn, and leap. Yeah, it's good. So actually close your eyes and say it. Don't look at the screen. What are they? Good. That's helpful for me. That's good. That's good. I want to begin with love, because if anything should seal our community direction, it's got to be that. It's got to be about love. You see, what's going to move us from our camps of doubt, of shame, of sin, of indecision or lackluster faith, what's going to move us out of those camps is our believing and living with the unconditional love of the one who is outside of the camp. The one who's calling us on and is calling us on a better way. We got to get that inside of us and believe it and know it to be true day in and day out. You see, our breaking from old camps, our fight against old ways, it's powerfully fueled by the sure knowledge that we are loved. That we are loved by Jesus and we're called on, that his grace is sufficient for us, that incredibly that we are made right today and tomorrow with our God through the work of the cross. We're made right by that. We need to be reminded that his love is so great that his arms are always open to us, always open. Jesus' arms are always open. Open to us, no matter where we're at, no matter what we've done, they're always open to us. Look, this is important for us. This is a critical understanding that undergirds our values when we talk about authentic community and our own spiritual formation, whether it is as a community or as individuals. And it undergirds our belief in the Great Commission as we are called to reach others. It's that understanding that love is powerful and it's real and it's transforming. You know, we might assume that kind of direction, a community direction of love, it really doesn't even need to be spoken about because after all, we're Christians and we understand things of love. And why spend time on that? Well, okay, maybe there's a point. But truthfully, it's a rare week that goes by that our team doesn't connect with someone who has forgotten or set aside or disqualified themselves from the powerful work of the cross. That's just the truth. People who find themselves in the comfort of old camps because they've begun to speak louder to them and they're not able to hear the voice of Jesus anymore. And so there is confusion and all of that. You've got to be able to break out of those camps. You've got to be able to break out of those camps. And it's the love of Jesus that breaks us out. It's understanding that his grace is powerful in our lives. And that whoever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, that he loves you and that he's calling you on. You are not disqualified. You're not disqualified. He's calling you on. He's saying, come on, step out of that camp and come to me. You're not disqualified. I love you. And I got a plan that's awesome for your life. Not disqualified. So that first step in our community direction is, I believe, is just to grasp the love of Jesus for us. Like, really hold on to it. Like, let's not play games with it. Let's not just say it. Let's allow the Spirit of God to grab our hearts so we can believe it. I think that if we were to walk out of this place tonight, 100%, knowing that we are loved and that God has a plan for us, like we would, can you imagine what would happen? But see, our humanity gets in the way and there's doubts and the enemy pushes the button. It's got to be our first step, is that we understand that God's love is incredible for us. The cross is sufficient for us. And we can move forward with that in our lives. So as a community, what I'm going to ask us to do is just to check our surroundings. Not this, but this. What are you in a camp that you ought not to be in? Are you distracted by things that hold you back from Jesus? Are there things in the way that you hold on to? Are you tempted to go back to the past and to old ways? And your relationship with Jesus suffers as a result. If that's that place, oh God, help us to take the steps out of the camp and to Jesus. Help all of us to do that. We've all got camps. There are camps that hold us back. I said this in the second service this morning, and I'll say it to you, because we have a value of authenticity here. You know what my camp is? One of my camps? It's fear. I'm just being honest with you. Nothing to do with paintball. You know what I'm afraid of? I wake up at nights because God is building his church. And I wonder if I have the capacity or the ability to handle all of it. I have fear. I worry. I worry that somehow people are going to get left behind. Or we're not going to be able to care for the growth that God has given us. That's my fear. It's a fear that builds up in me. And you know what? The enemy uses that button. I'm just being honest with you. That's the camp that I got to walk out of. And see Jesus calling me out of that place and into the newness that he has and the freshness and the capacity that comes in him. So we all got our camps. Oh God, help us to see them. Help us to see them and to move from them. Because we don't belong there. We belong on the other side. So when we're thinking about steps forward, let me talk about our next L word, and that is learning. It really is an important community direction for us as we consider this season ahead and where we are as believers. And if we go back to the Hebrews passage that we were talking about, and particularly verse 13, we can see that there's a clear element there of discipleship, and that's really what we're going to talk about. Verse 13 says, "So let us go out to him outside the camp, and bear the disgrace he bore." The fact of the matter is that Jesus took it all on for us. He was rejected by his own culture. He was ridiculed for what he said and how he believed. And ultimately, his radical position cost him his life. And so here, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews is saying, he's not only encouraging believers to kind of get out of the camp, he says, go and meet Jesus, and not just meet Jesus, follow Jesus, and not just follow him, do your best to be like Jesus, to bear the disgrace that he bore. That's talking about discipleship. That's talking about us trying our best to be like Jesus. It's where Jesus says, you got to pick up your cross and follow me. That's discipleship. Discipleship is about learning. It's about going forward. It's about doing our best to be like Jesus, to follow in those footsteps. You know, for quite some time, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, we felt that it's been important to try to articulate or show ways forward for us as a community, as learning disciples who desire to be closer to Jesus as best we can every day. And I mentioned that for the better part of a year, more than that, we've been working as a team at developing kind of a homegrown discipleship framework that would help us all to be intentional about moving forward and growing together. And so I'm just going to briefly introduce it to you tonight, and it's called Our Journey. So maybe we can just flip that up, Greg. So there it is. You know, I work well with pictures, and they help me kind of understand things. So let me just talk a little bit about our journey today, and we're going to follow it through with these pictures. This is important for us because it does speak to our stepping forward as a community. So we've got four areas in this journey that we've talked about. There's exploring, there's transforming, there's maturing, and there's leading. Why is this important? Well, it's important to know that we're somewhere on that picture, all of us. And our value of spiritual formation says one of the things we value is that we're throughout there. We're all at different places in our journey. And hopefully this will be a picture that will help to kind of show that. So let me just begin with the beginning and work our way through. The first one is about exploring Christianity. You know, we've all, I think, were explorers before we found Jesus. You know, explorers looking for truth, right? On a spiritual journey, we're trying to figure things out. We're trying to figure out things like the Bible. What's that about? And really, what is Christianity about? You hear some good, you hear a lot of bad. Like, how is that working? And who is Jesus anyway? Like the Son of God? How does that work? What is Easter about? I'm not sure. Like lots of questions about Christianity. Lots of questions. So what we want to say here is that explorers are welcome in this house. I hope that we are overcome with explorers, people just wondering about who Jesus is. Because we believe that in true community and in the love of Christ and good teaching, people will discover who Jesus is. So we want people to feel comfortable here. I hope we have tons of explorers. I hope we have explorers not only here, but in our life groups. You know, we invite people who are not believers yet to come and to experience community with us. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? So we're going to be intentional in all of these steps. There are things that we're going to do to help people kind of move forward. So one of the things is, and in this area, is we have what's called a foundations class. So people who are new believers can come to this class. It runs over a number of weeks, and we talk about all the elements of Christianity. And the guarantee is that you can ask any question at all, any question. It's all good. So it's an opportunity for people to learn. We've pulled together some teaching and reading for people if they would like to have it that's relevant, it's today, and it's going to help them move forward. So this part is important for us to grasp because we want to encourage explorers to come. We want to invite explorers to come. And one of the things that we're committed to here is to make this a comfortable place, to slip out of Christianese and into language that is clear and is understandable. Explorers, man, we want them to come. We want explorers to come. And when they explore, our hope is, our prayer is that they'll accept Jesus, that they will see the truth of Christ, and they will accept him as Lord and Savior. Of course, that's what we hope. And so when that happens, we move to our next step, and that is a transforming disciple. Once we accept Jesus into our lives, the Holy Spirit is in, and he's beginning that work of transforming us. And it's an awesome time, and there are some incredible things that happen in this period where we're transforming and we're meeting Jesus, and it's powerful. And there's some fundamental things that need to happen in that time. For example, once somebody accepts Jesus, we're going to encourage them to get baptized. And so practically, we've got a class that will teach people about baptism, because like, what's that about? We're going to talk to people about communion. Well, how does that work? You have a cracker and you have some juice and you say it's the body and the blood. It represents it. How does that work? So we're going to talk about that. We're going to take time for people who are transforming disciples and just to explain. And we're going to explain it here in our gatherings, and we're going to explain it in places like special classes. However we can do it, we're going to take the time because it's important that we are there for people who are transforming. We're going to be there in terms of being mentors for them. Some of you in this room need to be mentoring somebody who's a new believer and calling them on, helping them out, helping them answer some of the harder questions that they're facing. This is an important place for us. These are all about practical steps moving forward, finding a deeper connection with Jesus. And I hope that those who are in a place of transformation are very much going to be a part of a life group, very much a part of a community within a community, because it's there that they will be prayed for and called on and they will learn to pray for others. It's a very, very cool place to be. Transforming. And then after transforming is the maturing disciple. And this really is an area where people have gone through some of the some of those basic beginning parts of transformation, and they're moving along. And this is that place where we want to help people get into a deeper and a richer place with Jesus in the journey. And so some of the things that we're going to help you with is if you don't know, for example, that you have a spiritual gift, one of the things is that in this area we're going to help you to identify that gift. We have a course, actually, practically, that we're going to offer. It's called Network, and it's going to help you decide and find out what your spiritual gifting is. We're going to be doing things like we're going to be having a spirit retreat, a life in the spirit retreat, and we're going to be doing that in the next couple of months. And you're going to be invited to come to that retreat and explore who the Holy Spirit is. As a maturing disciple, you need to know that the Holy Spirit is there, powerful. And we're going to talk about Holy Spirit baptism. We're going to be talking about all the thoughts and things that surround that. Maybe you've been wondering about this thing called tongues. Well, this is a great place to learn, and you'll have that opportunity. This is about learning the empowerment of the Spirit and drawing closer to Jesus. So those kinds of opportunities are going to be there as we move forward, all of us, and mature in Christ. And it really is a cool place to be. The next area I want to talk about is leading. And so this part can scare people off because, you know, you can look at this and go, well, you know, if I start exploring Christianity, does it mean I'm going to have to be a leader? Well, no, but leading isn't necessarily as scary as it is. We define leading as that place where you have influence over others' lives, where you feel that God is putting you in a place where you're calling others on. And so that's what this is about. And we're going to stand with leaders. We want to help leaders. The Women's Network has got a Go Forward group, and it's about cultivating leadership. We have, in fact, our students, ministry leaders, were just out today at a leadership retreat out of Cedar Springs. And so we come behind and say, this is what it means to be a leader. We got lots of leaders in our community. We got life group leaders. We've got worship team leaders. We've got leaders in our Sunday school. Lots of leaders. But I want to tell you something, and I want you to hear this. We don't have enough leaders. We don't have enough leaders. Not the way God is building his church. You know, this morning we had over 500 people here. I'm glad you're here tonight because there wouldn't have been room this morning. We need people to come alongside and help us. Listen, the way that we are here, we and our team, we do our best, but we can't do it all. And you know what? We were never meant to. Our model here isn't hierarchical. We don't sort of say, the pastors get, well, you do it all. No, that's not true. It's impossible. We can't. I don't want us to. It's not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. We stand alongside, right? We're shoulder to shoulder. We kind of step away from the hierarchical model and say, no, we're in this together. But man, we need you to step up to the plate. We need you to help us lead this church. We need you to help us influence the lives of others. We need you to help us with people who are exploring Christianity, those who are transforming, calling on people who are maturing. We need you to help. See, God's growing his church. He's growing his church. So we just got to be there for it. Okay, I'm not saying you got to sign up for a leadership course tomorrow. But when God speaks to you, you got to step up to the plate. And he will speak to you. Because he brings people here for reason and for purpose. And many of you are to be leaders. It's as simple as that. Leading. It's so important for us. So our challenge with this is that we don't want you to feel like you're in a box. Because you're not. This is very fluid. It's flexible. So we didn't give you boxes. We gave you circles. And we know that this is about moving forward. And within that, you can see that there are circles that cross over each other. And so we get that there are blends sometimes. It's not all cookie cutter clean. That's not how we roll here anyways. We roll better in mess. So it's not cookie cutter clean, but it's a representation. It just helps us to sort of see that movement forward. And we also know that, you know, you could be, for example, a maturing disciple and not yet baptized in water. Well, that's okay. We'll just baptize you in water. It just means that, you know, it kind of flows. It can flow back and forth like that, depending on where you're at. And we know that there are times within our Christian walk that sometimes we're just in a struggling place. Well, there's room for you to just kind of hold on and just maybe kind of recalibrate and go back to some of the earlier principles of being a transforming disciple. It's all okay. This is about movements, right? It's about movement forward. It's about being where you are in your walk and us being authentic and real about that and letting Jesus do the work with us, okay? So that's what it's about. It's about moving forward. So that's why the arrow is at the end, and you can see that our values are filtered all the way through. They're at the bottom, and that's the idea. Our values are filtered all the way through. I hope I've done a good job trying to explain this. We would love to talk with you some more about it. Ryan has been absolutely involved in pulling this together, and so he's a great resource about some of the specifics. We've also got copies of this outside on the table, and you can pick it up and so on. But we'd love to dialogue some more about that, and we're excited about it because this is a way that we step forward. It's about not identifying just where we're at, but what follows, what's ahead of us. How do we move forward together? This, I think, is exciting stuff. This is going to help us a lot. I think Paul really captures our thinking well in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And he says this: "There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears." Like he's not done yet. And he's going to keep at it as long as we're engaged with him, right? And so that's the idea. That's the journey. We're all on this journey. Got to keep at it. God is with us. And it's going to be amazing. Here's the last thing I want to talk about, the last L, which is leaping. We believe that in this season that is ahead of us, God is going to be calling us to places that will not necessarily be easy for us, to places that will be leaps of faith. And they will be places that we will see the faithfulness of God as we step forward and we are obedient. As I said, God is building his church. And so for us, this, what I'm going to talk about in a couple of areas here is about our value of the Great Commission, about reaching others. And so we just need to remember that this is not about this. This is about this, but it's also about what's outside of these walls. It's about a community. It's about a city that doesn't know Jesus. It's about people that don't have a hope of Christ in their lives. It's about people who are not looking at a pleasant eternity. That's what it's about. And so we believe that in this season, God is going to be calling us on to step out in faith. Number one, I think this isn't going to be. This is very important for us. God is calling us to be a people of invitation. You've heard me say that before. A people of invitation. So woven through our journey is this assignment that as we discover the grace of God in our lives and we accept his invitation to become his own, that we become ultimately a people of invitation ourselves. That we invite others in. We invite them because we want them to experience what we've experienced. To see the wonder of salvation and to experience the grace of God. We want people, we want to invite them out of their camps, which are not holding a lot of promise for them. We want to invite them out of those camps and into the arms of Christ, who's on the other side, just saying, come on. And so, you know, the Lord calls us to help with that and to invite people out. So that is part of what it is that we need to be, as a people of invitation. The Apostle John, he writes in the Gospel about his desire to share his experience of Jesus. I love this. It's out of 1 John verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. He says, we saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. You see, what we know, what we've experienced in Christ is not for us to hold back and hold on to. It's about releasing it to those who really need to have this truth. It's about being a people of invitation. How do we do that? Well, we think that it's important that we do it first personally in relationship with others, developing relationships with our neighbors, students that we were in school with co-workers. But it's just being the light of Christ. I'm not talking about dropping a tract on somebody's desk. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about being there for them. I'm talking about when you know that a co-worker's got an issue, somebody's died in the family or there's some problem, that you are there with them. And you may not even talk about Jesus, but you might be able to say to them, can I pray for you? Maybe that's how you're going to help develop a relationship with them. It's going to be that place where we go that extra mile because we're believers in Christ and we let the light of Christ shine in us. That's how we will become a people of invitation. See, Jesus is pretty doggone attractive. And when Jesus is in us and we let that show, we become attractive. People want to be with us, and we can become that people of invitation. We invite them over for a barbecue. We invite them over for supper. We help them with meals, whatever it is. But let us just show Jesus. It can't be just us walking out our doors in the morning with our Bibles in our hand thinking, that's enough. Bible, Christian, come with me. That's not going to work. See, people, that doesn't work. But you invite them over for supper, you invite a family over, you help them out, you are Jesus for them. And then maybe they're going to ask you the question, well, like, what do you do on a Sunday? I see you going, well, I go to this place, we talk about Jesus, and yeah, it's important to my life. Awesome. Can I come? People of invitation. It's important for us to do that. Here's the other thing I'm going to say about that before I finish off with my last point. Sometimes we think that people don't want to be invited to church, and so we're hesitant to do that. But in actual fact, surveys show that that's not really true. There are lots of people who've got negative perceptions of church, and some of them are understandable. But a lot of people are willing to come if they're invited to church, if we just invite them to a gathering like this. A lot of people have had, maybe marginal experience or no experience, and they're wondering. They would like to explore a little. We can invite them to church. I want to encourage you to be a people of invitation and invite people to come. We got some room here, and it's good. I want there to be room here because we need to have room for people to come and to explore together. So let us be a people of invitation. It's a leap of faith. It really is. But we need to do it. It's part of what the Great Commission calls us to do. Here's the last point in my L, and then we're finished tonight. We believe in this community that God is calling us to plant a second church. About 3 years ago, we planted a church called City Lights. And if you were here last week, you saw Brett, who's the lead there, talking about City Lights and what's happening there. That church is on the Burnaby-Vancouver border, and it's in a place that really is unchurched now because the churches around have been closing down. But somehow God called this community to have faith and to believe and to take the leap and to plant a church there. And today, people are coming to Christ. Today, that church is light in a dark place. Today, there is momentum building in that church, which I believe is going to be exponential. You're going to see it. So we're being called to be faithful to that, being able to take a community and build it within a community where it really needs to have the light of Christ. So we believe God's calling us to plant a second church. Don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but I want you to know that in this season, we are going to be taking specific steps towards building that, building the framework for that church plant, wherever it may be. We're going to investigate it seriously. We're going to be praying about it. I want you to pray about it. I don't know where it's going to be, but in my spirit, I think it's going to be closer than it will be farther away. And when I think about that, and when I look out at our community, I think some of you are going to be a part of that church plant. You're going to be placed in a neighborhood that needs to have a gathering like this of community and desperately needs the light of Christ. I think it's going to happen. I don't want you to get freaked out about that, but I think at some point it's going to happen. And maybe even now there's something kind of going on the inside. Listen to that. We're going to be giving opportunity over the next while for those who feel called to be church planters to rise up and let us know that. We're going to begin a process in which we begin to identify church planters amongst us here at Living Waters and those who are called to support a church plant, what that looks like. We're pretty excited about this, but we believe that this is part of our community direction. It's not just about us. Here, the 9095 Glover, there's no magic in that. It's not about our location. It's not about this facility. It's about what God is doing amongst us. And we believe that God desires to do much amongst us if we are willing. And so think about that and pray about it. Leaping, it's a good thing. We all need to do it. Let me just give you a summary, and then we're done tonight. So when we talk about community direction, this is what we've talked about. We've talked about leaving old camps behind and drawing closer to Jesus. That's where God wants us to be. We want to be continually rediscovering the depth of love that Jesus has for us. Let us allow God to have a fresh start in our spirits. If we've got the same old, if we've got stuff in our lives that we need to be dropping off, well, let's drop those things off in the name of Jesus and let's draw closer to him. We need to embrace learning together. We need to take steps together as disciples of Christ. It's all about forward movement. It's not about being stagnant. It's about moving forward and being closer to Christ, growing in him. And then we need to take leaps of faith, become a people of invitation. Within this community, outside of this community, it's where we need to be. Would you stand up, everybody? I'd like to pray for you. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. So we're committed to committing all of this to the Lord. I hope you have got faith. I hope you've got faith tonight. Faith for all that it is that God will do amongst us and in you. And in you. Let me pray for you. Lord, you're amazing. And we thank you for community. Just even over these last three Sundays talking about community and the fact that you've drawn us together in this way. I pray, oh God, that that really our eyes would open and we would receive the love of Jesus in our lives. Lord, that we would know every day as we woke up that we are redeemed, that we are saved. Oh God, that we can know your grace and your power in our lives, that you are calling us on to new and fresh things, oh God, that you equip us, you empower us for the work that is ahead. Jesus, help us to see it. Help us not to put any of you aside, but to put you exactly where you need to be, right in front of us. God, I give you thanks for this community and all that you've done. And Lord, we anticipate with great faith what you will do amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. So this coming Sunday, Luke is going to be introducing our next series, and it's on Haggai. If you've not read this little book in the Old Testament, you need to before this coming Sunday. It's powerful. It will take you about 15 minutes. But it's a great book, and we've got three Sundays ahead, and we're looking forward to diving into that. So God bless you, everybody. Like Luke said earlier, feel free to hang around, to pray, to talk, and be community. God bless you.